Reading from Art of Chanting. This is chapter 10. Japa meditation techniques. And this particular section is called 8 Rules for Better Japa. How to improve our japa. We discussed yesterday, night before, light food. If you eat light at night, then you can rise early. Eat light at night, early a light. A light means to wake up and get up. And then before the next day, then you make a sankalpa, you take a vow. Oh, tomorrow I want to chant with great concentration. I really want to absorb myself in japa. You mentally prepare yourself for the sadhana. Tomorrow morning I will chant with full concentration and sincere feelings. And then we talked about time and place and mind. And now there's number 3. 3 is chanting techniques. The first one is sit properly. Anyone that's been around ISKCON for a while, they've heard Prabhupada's japa tape. He would sometimes chant, I mean in the beginning I think he did quite a lot. He would come down and sit with the devotees and chant one round of japa with all of his disciples. And then he would leave and go do his translation work or whatever. So they have this japa tape of Prabhupada chanting over and over again. But actually, I think he only chanted one round and they just kept recording it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And one devotee who was actually the culprit that caused Prabhupada to make this comment, he came to Vrindavan Temple one time a few years ago. I forget his name, maybe Gopal or whatever. And he said, has everyone heard that tape where Prabhupada is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sit properly. Have you heard? At any rate, he's chanting japa and he interrupts his chanting by saying, sit properly. So the devotee who was the object of that statement, he was in Vrindavan and he gave a talk. He said, anyone heard this? And of course everyone's heard. And he said, that was me. Prabhupada was talking to me. So he has the infamy or the fame or whatever. Eternal fame or infamy. And everyone said, well, what was the circumstance? He said, in those days, you know, it was early days. I forget when it was. Maybe LA, 1970 or so. And everyone would lean on the wall because they were not so much yogi types. They were leaning on the wall, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he got a little tired and he was like this. And then he put his legs out straight. Legs were going out straight. And still Prabhupada didn't mind. Because he said, oh, at least they're chanting. Even though their legs, they didn't have, like you're sitting cross-legged, like lotus. They just had their legs out straight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because they're hippies and maybe their knees don't work too well. Westerners don't have very good knees. They're not, a lot of Indians are yogis. You know, they were men yogis in their last life and they became women in this life or whatever. Women yogis became men or whatever. Whatever. But so then Prabhupada tolerated. He was very tolerant. At least they're chanting. So then they're sitting like this and then they're leaning and then legs out. And Prabhupada was just chanting. And then he started to slide down the wall. He got more tired. He was sliding down the wall like this and it was almost like lying almost flat on his back. Almost sleeping. And then at that time Prabhupada said, sit properly. So the idea is sit properly. Why? Page 183. Yoga Shastras proclaim that sitting straight facilitates concentration. Everyone knows that. You sit like this and that facilitates falling asleep. Sit like this and you go like this. You go like that. You go like this. Then you lie down. Well, I'll lie down a little bit and I'll read my textbook. And you lie down. Textbook goes to sleep and you go to sleep and your study goes to sleep. You had the experience?
No
chance. Oh, well, congratulations. You're not really a full-blooded Hare Krishna. You're just young. You have to work into this standard. But it takes time. But generally you start reading Bhagavatam or some Shastra at night and you're sitting straight and you read for some time and you get a little tired and then maybe I'll just lie down. I can read like this, you know, like this, and then sometimes long. You
know,
like this.
You really hear the book
fall down. Yeah, the book goes. What happened? So the yoga shastras, what do they say? They say that sitting straight facilitates concentration. Right posture makes the mind calm. This is from Tantaraj Tantra. I study some books on yoga to prepare this book. For purification of the body and for success in yoga, posture is absolutely necessary. These are quotes from different... This is Rudra Yamla Tantra. By the practice of good posture, the body becomes disease-free, firm, and efficient. So that's pretty good. By the practice of good posture. At least for 1 minute, you can do a show. See, look, Mom, I'm sitting straight. 1 minute. Then, okay, back to Kali Yuga. Spondylitis, curvature of the spine, lumbago, cervical. What? I said spondylitis. Cervical spondylitis. Lumbar problem, thoracic problem. But by the practice of good posture, the body becomes disease-free, firm, and efficient. So we try to sit straight. I think you've seen me most of the time. I'm sitting straight. Then number four, oh no, it says number B, C. These are chanting techniques. So one is sit straight. Chant without interruption. Interruption means that you chant half around and then you say, well, then you hang the beads outside your bag and say, oh, I have to go here and there and do something. So that course comes under, that comes again in the future, the vow of one, the vow of four, the vow of 16. Chanting without interruption means finish your 16 rounds. When you meet very advanced devotees, if you have the opportunity, and the Holy Dhamma Vrindavan, they'll usually ask you a couple of questions, if they're going to ask you anything. And they'll say, how many rounds do you chant every day? And then they say, how many do you chant in one sitting? I sit down, I chant half a round, then I jump up. And I run around and I go here and there and sit somewhere else and chant another half a round. So they want, because usually they chant 1 lakh, and they sit in one place and chant 1 lakh, 4 hours, 5 hours. A yogi. This is yoga, bhakti yoga. And then they ask this, they say, how many rounds are you chanting? How many rounds do you chant in one sitting? And they say, how you get your food? How you get your food? You do madhukari, you bake food from Brijvasi Brahmins. Some roti or sabji or whatever, dry, or maybe some atta, and make your own roti. Or do you eat in Bandara? Do you eat food for life every day? Food for life program. Or do you cook yourself? Do you eat in a temple? They ask. They often ask. Sannyasis from Gaudiya Math, God Brothers of Srila Prabhupada I've met over the years, and other advanced devotees. And then I would always inquire, why, what's the big deal, this and that. And they say it's very important. He said the best thing for bhajan, best thing for a calm and pure mind is to cook yourself and offer to your Thakurji. You know, usually the devotees, sannyasis, babas, the ramacharis, they have some shalagram shila or some, more often some govardhan shila, like Raghunath Das Goswami, maybe Gornitai, Radha Krishna, whomever. And then they make something nice for them with love and devotion they offer. Then you keep very healthy, first of all, because you know exactly how much salt or what kind of salt. Like you want to eat Ekadasi salt, rock salt, it's very healthy. And someone else cooks for you and they use regular salt. It's just a big luffra. It's a big mess. So best to cook yourself. Of course, you know, family situation, usually the mother's cooking for everyone. I'm just explaining some principles. Because a person's consciousness goes inside the grains, especially the whole grains, their bhav, their mood. So if you're eating your own food, your own mahaprasad from your Thakurji, you're eating your own bhav. If you can eat someone, like sometimes Prabhupada was cooking in the early days for the devotees, that was the ideal. You couldn't get a better ideal than that. Your guru is cooking. He's a Mahabhagavat, pure devoted Lord. He's cooking and he's serving. Here, take this. He's serving out the food. and how much tasty that was, and how much purifying that was. Everyone really, they were practically speaking, spoon-fed by the Guru. So it has a tremendous effect to purify the consciousness. Whatever bhava is in the heart of the Guru, whatever his mood of devotion is, that comes inside the food, and you eat it. Just like in America, they say, if your wife's angry, don't eat at home. I used to hear this when I was married. If your wife is angry, don't eat at home. Go to the hotel or go to the restaurant. You say restaurant. You say hotel or whatever. If your wife is angry, go to the restaurant. Or go to your mother's house or something. Because all that anger is going inside. Oh, this is my husband. Oh, that guy. So I remember that. So even the karmis have some idea that there's some transmission of thoughts, there's some transferal of thoughts and feelings into the foodstuff that's prepared by the preparer of the food. And we had one class we gave in our Tattva Darshan series about how I forget just how it works now. When people go out to restaurants, they're actually eating the remnants of the cook. Because whenever there's a restaurant, the cook has to taste to make sure that everything's pukka. And the cooks are usually pretty, you know, in some cases they're Brahmin cooks, but that's pretty rare. Most time the restaurant cooks are like converted rickshaw wallahs or some kind of Bengali shoemaker or something. They're really kind of low-class people and they smoke and do all kinds of things. So they eat it and then you go to the restaurant, you're eating their uchishta. And so you definitely get their consciousness. Although you pay for it, so that cuts majority of the karmic transferal because you pay for it. But still, it's not recommended. What to speak of the hygienic aspect, how dirty it is. If you want to judge a restaurant, don't go in the front where you sit down. Go in the back door.
Even Vaisar, it's very bad.
Oh, yeah. That's what I liked about Govinda. Somehow I was going to a program in Chopadi Beach, and that's where there's a temple of Radha Gopinath run and organized by Radhanath Swami, Pujapad Sri Srila Radhanath Swami, and his disciples primarily are there for the most part. And my godbrother was in a restaurant. Someone said he wants to see you, Mahamuni and Bhima Das. You'll go together to see this drama, Hare Krishna drama, story of King Parikshit. So you meet them there and you'll go together in the car. So I said, I don't know the restaurant, where is this? So they took me from the temple courtyard and across the courtyard into some door, back door. Went right into the kitchen. I said, the kitchen. I looked around because I've been in plenty of kitchens and things. I said, it's immaculate. It was immaculate. It was like really clean. Everywhere stainless steel counters and stainless steel and floor was shining tile and really everything in its place. Unbelievable. Govinda's restaurant. Then I went into the restaurant, it was very attractive and beautiful. I was like, And all the cooks were devotees, Tilak, and they're all initiated devotees. Of course they make pizza and all the kind of things that people like. But very clean. Really, really clean. Unbelievably clean. Looked like a deity kitchen at some temple, ISKCON temple. Very impressive. So devotees, they it's, in other words, the bottom line is eat in Govinda's. At least in Bombay. I don't know about other places, but it was exceptionally clean. And Prabhupada once made a statement, which we were just repeated recently, and with some analyzation of what that means. And Prabhupada made a statement as devotees should be known as revolutionarily clean. Revolutionarily clean. He wrote that in a letter. So it's like a revolution in cleanliness. It's so clean and so tight. So it's like a revolution in cleanliness. It's so clean and so tidy and so neat. So we're talking about chanting without interruptions, one of the chanting techniques, number 3. So once in Los Angeles, some disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what would please you the most?" Which generally, general answer we hear, "If you want to please me, distribute my books." This is plastered all over the temples and posters everywhere, especially during the book distribution marathon. And no doubt, it pleases Prabhupada to distribute his books. And we had that fortune of having that service also for 6 years. But Prabhupada said other things. Sometimes he would say, if you want to please me, become a pure devotee. I'll be most pleased. And here, in this particular instance, he said, what will please me the most? If you chant 16 rounds of japa at one sitting without interruption. An hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, like this. Then letter C is, be careful to clearly and distinctly pronounce the holy names. Four is concentration. This is rule number four. Collect all the thoughts into one. Collect all the thoughts into one. What thought should we have? Concentrate on the sound vibration. Our mind has so many thoughts and they're going in so many directions and they want to take our attention there. Oh, come with me. Come on, let's go for a ride. Oh, where are we going? Oh, just get in the car. Let's go. So the mind, when we're chanting japa, the mind says, come on, let's go. Oh yeah, let's go. This thought. Hey, you go by yourself. I'm getting out. Let me out. Open the door. And you get out of the car and then you go back. And you have, I have to concentrate. Hare Krishna. So you withdraw the mind. It's called dharana, or it's called pratyahara. Withdrawing the mind back to the sound vibration. So concentration means to concentrate on the sound vibration. That's number four. Number five, control the mind. It's a similar principle. Pull it back when it wanders. Chanters, beware. See that? So many exclamation points. Yoga shastras say that tamogun and sleep usually attack a sadhaka after he has practiced 1 hour of meditation. In other words, after sitting peacefully and chanting japa for 1 hour, one should be watchful. Where's that guy tamogun? Is he coming? And check his energy and attention levels. Because I read some books in yoga, when people sit down, they chant Om or they meditate on Brahman or whatever, their navel or the tip of their nose or whatever, between their eyes. And then after about an hour, they go to sleep. All the yogis, all the meditators. It's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. The mind just kind of, because you're not doing, there's no motion. Motion means passion. It's just basically what meditation means is sustained goodness. Sustained goodness is meditation. What happens is that the modes of nature are always in flux. Our body, our mind, our constitution is not predominated by only one mode of nature. Some ignorance is there, some passion is there, some goodness is there, and they're always interplaying and moving back and forth to take charge of the body. Sometimes when we wake up, then passion takes over. Yes, move, go, motion, go, eat, brush your teeth, get dressed, motion, car, down. Then you sit in the office. Okay, that passion got me to the office. Now I have to be a little thoughtful, a little concentrated, a little sattvic. And you sit down. What do I have to do? So these modes are moving, and then we concentrate for a while when we're really sattvic, and then we get really tired. And then we go, oh, good night. Then tamagun. So these modes are always moving. So when one sits for some time and tries to sustain his concentration and sustain the mode of goodness, then the mode of ignorance says, hey, what is this? You're trying to be a yogi. Acha? You're trying to stay awake, and then ignorance arises. Depending on what our own prakriti is, what our own nature is, how much ignorance will come, and how impure our consciousness is. So they find that generally it's after 60 minutes that everyone can go the distance for 60 minutes. But then, knowing that, and you often see in a temple, everyone after Mangalarati, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everyone's really going from like 5 o'clock to 6, and then, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they kind of spin off here and there, different crash, you know, different planes fall out of the sky. So be careful. Watch out. Be watchful and check your energy levels and attention levels. If you feel drowsy or dull-headed, sound familiar? You ever feel drowsy or dull-headed? Achcha. That's so unusual. Then chant loudly to shake off tamagun. Or go outside for a japa walk. Drink some cold water. And splash some on your face. do Shirasan, headstand for 2 minutes. It really does wonders. And for 2 minutes, and do 10 rounds of pranayama, or a few stretching exercises. That's also very good. Just stretch out, you know, stretch. Refreshed and invigorated, sit before Tulsi Devi again and renew your japa meditation. So yesterday we were talking about this transcendental pranayama. What's it called? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhisham, Pranayam. You heard? It's bigger than Art of Living, and it's bigger than Swami Ramdev. It's the biggest thing to hit India. God, it's just now, this is breaking news, they call it, you know, breaking news. This is breaking news right here in Puri, this is happening. You're on the cutting edge of this new development. You can think, gee, it was this revolutionary concept was hatched out here in Puri. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhisham, Pranayam. Now, what is the essence of this pranayam? First you have to chant, do the mudra. This is the mudra. Index and middle finger down. So now, actually you exhale, but you press this nose like this and you inhale. But when you inhale, you bring in Radha. You bring Radha into your heart. Because even when you're inhaling, you're going, that you just think Radha, 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 Radha. And then, so you bring in Radha. Then close. And then you chant as many mantras as you can. Then you chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. So inhale, inhale, hold, exhale. Inhale right, hold, exhale left. Watch. Then you exhale. So you inhale Radha, then you count one Maha Mantra or two or three, whatever you can do. Then you exhale the other nostril like this. Thumb and these two. Tum, 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 tum. Hey, what is this? Two fingers. No, these two. You got it. Like this. Keep them together. Just on the bottom of your nose, not up in the middle of your nose. It's called alternate breathing. There's some Sanskrit name, I can't remember. It's very good to balance. It balances. Huh? Anulom vilom? Anulom vilom. Kumbhak, Rechaka, Kumbhaka. Swami Ramdev is pushing that one? But Anulom vilom, that's not a transcendental thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhisham, Pranayam. Prabhupada said, it's not that we don't have to change anything, we just have to add Krishna, right? You keep studying, you keep dancing, but think of Krishna when you study. Oh Krishna, I'm studying so I can be a good person, a good human being. And then when I go in society, I'm a devotee, people say, oh, you're working and you have this talent, and you're also a devotee, oh, it's very good. Everything is good. Krishna is good, studying is good. Everything can be connected. So this is it. Everyone understands how it works? So the idea is, even when you're exhaling, when the air is coming out, that sounds like sha. Shh, right? Shh. So that's like sham. In Radhi sham. In Radha, ra, 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 then sham. Radha sham. Radhi sham, Radhi sham. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhi sham, Pranayama. And I'm not charging anything for this special session. It's being freely distributed out of the kindness of my heart to benefit the people of the subcontinent of India. I have brought this sacred teaching from the east of Brooklyn, east of Manhattan, Second Avenue. I brought this sacred teaching from Second Avenue in New York. The Matchless Gifts. First temple. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Radhisham, Pranayam.
Will you hold after exhale also?
Can do, but that's another type of thing. Ah. But generally, so inhale, hold, exhale. Inhale from that one, hold, exhale. Like this. It's very good. And I guess it's even being promoted. It's good for health. Especially when you feel dull. Do ten rounds of that. And you feel, get some prana. It's called pranayama. Get some prana, get some life energy in your brain. Then you feel, oh. So now, we're still on number five, control the mind. So one is pull it back when it wanders, and all these different little techniques. And the second thing is cut the tendency to recall events. Instant recall. Cut the tendency of the mind to recall events from yesterday, last week, or the year before. The bird of the mind flies on two wings. The past and the future. Cut off the wings. Sounds a little vicious, but sorry about that. Cut off the wings. Be here now. Hear, chant, and remember. Love, serve, and surrender. Arrivo! There was a famous book written years ago in the 70s called Be Here Now by Richard Alpert, who took initiation from Neem Karoli Baba. And he got the name Ram Dass. Neem Karoli Baba was a Hanuman worshipper. He has an ashram in Vrindavan on the Prikama Marg. He was some type of, a little bit of a yogi also. He would disappear and reappear in different places. Neem Karoli Baba. So be here now. Hear, chant, and remember. Love, serve, and surrender. Forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all. Deal with times that are with you, and progress you shall call. This is from a poem, a Bengali song called Sharanagati. There are 60 songs in this book called Sharanagati. Gopinath, mama nivadena shuno. This song is about surrender. The title of the whole book is Sharanagati, and there are different songs, like Gopinath, which are indicating the mood of Karpanya, or humility and surrender to the Lord. So in one of those songs, he said, this is the way to make progress. Forget the past, it's sleeping, it's dead, it's gone. Oh, in the past, I was a great star, I was this, that, I did so many things, but now I'm nobody. So forget the past, it sleeps. And never the future dream at all. Oh, in the future I'll be flying in the sky and be right here. Of course, you can have hopes and you can have dreams. Because they also have phrases like, a man can only be as big as his dreams. You must have heard this. And Dream the Impossible Dream. There was a famous Broadway play that called Dream the Impossible Dream. So this is, we can have hope. It's called Ashabandha. It's actually a symptom of Bhava Bhakti. Ashabandha. Hope. Very Ashabandha means very firm and strong hope that Krishna will surely give his darshan. Krishna will surely bless me with the goal of my life, with the fulfillment of my aspiration. Krishna will do this. I have this faith, and I have this hope. Prabhupada used to say, hope against hope. So this is so that, in one sense, on one level, dreaming and desiring for some perfectional stage, that is very good. But in terms of this japa technique, we shouldn't be dreaming while we're chanting japa. Deal with times that are with you in progress. Now, next point C is, don't plan today's duties. Sometimes devotees say, when we chant, can we think about our devotional service? Like we can chant japa and think, well, today I'm going to buy some boga to cook for Janmashtami, I'm going to buy this and that, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh yeah, plum chutney, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I have to get some good plums, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Where can I get some? I'll go to Karabar, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But I don't want to use sugar, I want to use mystery, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And maybe, what spices should I put in, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, that's a very good idea. Oh, Krishna, thank you, let me write that down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, this japa is very good. When I chant japa, I get so many good ideas for cooking. This is very bad. Very, very bad. This is cooking japa. Chutney japa. Pakora. Halava japa. Oh, now that's... It's 25 preparations I can make for Janmashtami. Okay, let me think more. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, pie. Why didn't I think of pie? Great, Krishna, great idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, coconut pie with lemon meringue filling. Oh, fantastic idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But this is not recommended. Don't plan today's duties. If the mind persistently dwells, if the mind persistently dwells on the shopping list and won't let you go, or things to do today, and it keeps coming up and haunting you, try to chant japa and your mind keeps going there, then stop briefly. Write down the points and then chant japa with a tranquil mind, rather than dragging through one round after round of chutney. Hare Krishna Krishna. Pakora, Hare Krishna Krishna. Oh, I have to go to the hairdresser's. Hare Krishna Krishna. Oh, then I have to pick up my daughter's school. Hare Krishna Krishna. Then I have to take Radha to nursery school or whatever. I don't know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just clear out everything clear. Number 6, absorb 4 qualities. Try to fill the mind with the 4 qualities recommended in the 3rd verse of Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for all. 7, meditation. While chanting, meditate on the form of Radha Shyam, or on the meaning of the holy names revealed by the previous acharyas, and those are discussed other places. 8, mood. Chant with a feeling of longing, hankering for Krishna, and crying for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, it's quoted from Science of Self-Realization, this chanting of Hare Krishna is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. So we discussed this in Bombay, what this means, the different words of this verse. Genuine crying versus false crying. And for what? Is a child crying, oh mother, I want some money, I want... No, he's crying for presence, which means that he's separated. If you want someone's presence or their appearance before you, that means you're not with them, you're separated. Oh, where is my friend? I wish they were here. I want to see them. I want to meet them. I wish they were present here. We could have so much fun. But now I'm all alone. So obviously this phrase of Prabhupada indicates that the child is separated from the mother by some circumstance. She goes into the shopping mall, 4-story shopping mall, and she goes up 2 or 3 floors, and then down one, and up 2, and down one, and then up to the 4th one. And the kid's with the mother, and then she goes into some shop and she really gets engrossed in looking at all these shoes, and the kid gets bored. And he wanders out and goes down the escalator, down to the next floor, and then he wanders around and he gets lost. And which way I came and which way is up and down? And I don't know where my mother is, and every store looks the same, and all these big people everywhere. I'm, eh. You know, because he's a little tyke. He's a little guy. So then he starts crying, Mommy, Mommy. And they say, what do you want? What do you want? I want my mother. Where is she? Oh, she's around here somewhere. Well, there's only 300 stores in this mall. There's 300 stores here. Which store is she in? I don't know. So they make an announcement. Anybody lost a kid? There's a little brat. There's a little brat here. And if you want to collect your little brat, his name is... What's your name? So then his mother comes and claims, oh, that's my little brat. And she comes in, takes him. So this is crying. So we... had to think deeply about how it would feel to be a little child separated from his mother. So we are children of God. We're all not very big. We're also very tiny. And we're also very lonely and very much alienated and separated from the Lord of love and the Lord of our life, our Prananath. So if we think about it, it's a fact. If we actually think about it and reflect on it, it is actually a true fact that we're very much separated from God. Very much away from Him and not feeling His presence, not perceiving His form or His actual reality. We hear about it, we read about it, but it seems so intangible, so imperceptible. So then that can create a certain kind of emptiness, a certain kind of hankering. Well, you know, where are you? Now just show yourself to me. Prove it. Many devotees do this. They fast, they go on extensive fasts. They say, listen, Krishna, if you don't show yourself to me, then I'm going to die. And they start fasting. And then Krishna, he's pretty kind. He doesn't usually let anybody die. Sometimes he does. And also there. He's free. But if the motivation is pure, Krishna, please, I'm your devotee. I've been serving you for so long. And I'm exasperated. I'm feeling very desperate. And I'm really desirous of having some indication of your presence. Some indication, at least, some solid... hit me on the head reality. I'm tong. Oh, okay, yeah, you're there. Okay, I'm sure now. So some confirmation. And that's what everybody wants. He wants some confirmation of the relationship. Confirmation. Do you love me? Well, I have to tell you. You can't tell by what I'm saying or how, what I'm in my eyes. You can't tell. No, you have to say it. I love you. So, if you have to speak, then it's not very good love. It's pretty shallow. It's pretty shallow love. You have to say, I love you. Love is something beyond words. It's anamika. Unnamed. You can't weigh it. You can't measure it. You can't see it. You can feel it. Right? So this is... So, meditate on the chanting, the mood. The mood is so important. It's the mood that makes the magic. No mood, no magic. What's that mood? That's the, oh, I have to, what is that mood? Oh, they told me I have to do it. I'm doing it. My mother makes me do this stuff. I don't want to do it. She forces me. I just want to be, I'm a kid, you know, why do I have to force all this stuff down my throat? I didn't ask for this stuff. Somehow I came in this household and they were okay, and then they went crazy at a certain point. My mother and father, and I started running around, and what did I do? I didn't do anything. What did I do to deserve this? I said, lay off, back off, lay off, leave me alone. You're doing your thing with your choice, so let me do my thing with my choice. Right? It's reasonable. And I'm all for it. It should be freedom of choice. You can show someone something, this is a good thing, and this is why it's a good thing. You have to speak reasonably, logically. This sadhana bhakti is a good thing. This chanting Hare Krishna is a good thing. And why is it a good thing? Well, why? You tell me. Well, I don't know. Somebody said it was a good thing. We should know ourselves why it's a good thing and what good it does for us. What is the benefit? And what is the purpose of it? Who, what, when, where, and why, and how? We have to answer all these questions for ourselves. Then we can answer them for somebody else. But if you can't answer them for yourself, you don't have the answer to yourself, then how do you answer somebody else? So why do you chant Hare Krishna? I never really gave it a thought. I just started doing it. I don't really know why I do it. Connor, you ask a really good question. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow. she thinks my mother's cracked. You know, she's like, she's doing something, she doesn't know why she's doing it. Like if I say, if someone's eating some food, I say, why are you doing that? What are you doing? I'm eating. Why are you doing that? Because if I don't eat, I'd die. So I have to eat this food to maintain my body. Oh, that makes sense. What you're saying makes good sense. So why am I chanting Hare Krishna? So then we have to have the answer. So then so you can present the logic of it and the value of it and the meaning of it and the benefit of it. And then you leave it on somebody's doorstep. You like it, you take it. You don't like it, you reject it. Choice is always there. Freedom of choice. Of course, this mood of chanting should not be done in an artificial way, but rest assured, Sri Krishna will respond to the sincere and helpless cries of a humble devotee chanting with a repentant heart. That's quite a mouthful there. Sincere, crying, helpless crying, a humble devotee with a repentant heart. If you have all those qualities, then, you know, Krishna doesn't need to come and bother you. you're really already liberated. If you're very sincere and you feel helpless, and you're crying, and you feel very humble, and you feel very repentant, then you're already Krishna conscious. You're there. So Krishna says, why are you crying for me? You're already doing quite well. No, it's not like that. This is the prerequisite to attract Krishna's attention. This is said everywhere, in every sacred scripture of the world, anywhere where something of spiritual is being discussed, in the Quran, we have Puran and they have Quran. Quran and Puran. Like the Hindus, they have, the sadhus, they wear mustache and beard, everything. Then the Muslims say, oh, you're like this. Hindus, you have mustache, everything. Then we'll take off the mustache. But we don't want to be like Hindu. So that's, there's no, Muslims, no mustache. Just this. And then, you worship the cow and you eat the pig. Hindus eat the pig, low class. So we will eat the cow and worship the pig. So they don't eat the pig. That's considered haram, haram. How horrible. The pig is attacking me. Wild boar is attacking me. Haram, haram. And you fast at this time for your holy time, then we'll fast at this time. You fast at a different time. And you know, everything is opposite.
So it's a huh? They don't read their namaz, they face west.
So when Hindus do any type of prayer or any type of holy prayer or respect to the gods, they face north or east. They face north to the Himalayas because there are great rishis still residing up there, Chiranjeevs, Ashwatthama, and Bali Maharaj, and Hanuman, Kripacharya, Parasaram, Vibhishana, Vyasamuni, Markandeya Rishi. They're living there, doing austerities, Naranarayan Rishi. So they face the north or they face the east, the rising sun. Lakshmi, Surya Narayan. So the Muslims say, which way do you face? You face east when you do your prayer? Okay, we'll face west. Whatever you do, we'll do the opposite. So you have Puran, so many Purans, so we have Quran. Hindus have Puran, we have Quran. So in the Quran, and in the Bible, and in all the scriptures, it says, the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. Meek. Meekness. Meekness means humility. Humility. So this is attractive. Prema, the foundation of prema is humility. This is the foundation. Prema, love of God, is based on humility. There's no... The greatest devotee, the greatest lover of God is Srimati Radharani. No one exhibits a greater or more intense or concentrated and pure and satisfying form of love than Srimati Radharani. Krishna finds so much happiness and satisfaction by her service. But she is also the most humble devotee imaginable. She has the most extreme degree of humility within her character, within her speech, within her behavior. So she is the embodiment of prema, and she's the embodiment of humility. So even in the Vaishnava scriptures, there's so many incidents of the humble devotee getting the mercy of the Lord. So this humility is very much required. A humble devotee chanting with a repentant heart. Are there any questions on this point? These 8 points? To review the 8 points, night before, time, place, mind, chanting techniques, chant without interruption, pronounce distinctly, clearly, concentrate all your thoughts on the vibration, control the mind, pull it back, don't fall asleep, don't recall the past or today or just hear the name, absorb four qualities, meditate on the form or meaning, form of Radha and Krishna or the meaning of the holy name, have the proper mood, hankering, longing. So these are the 8 things. This is a technique to improve our japa. Go through these 8 items and try to incorporate them. So I'll go on. Next entry here is a technique, how to improve one's japa by chanting in association with one's spiritual master and other pure devotees. If they allow you. Sometimes they don't allow you. So then, skipping down here, excuse me? 185. Patanjali Rishi says in the Yoga Sutras, one can control the vrittis, which means thought waves, by fixing the mind on one who has transcended human passions and attachments. The Sanskrit is called Vitaraga Vishayam Chittam. By thinking of a liberated soul, or by looking at his picture, one can pacify the mind, purify the heart, and increase one's concentration on japa. Remembering an advanced soul also purifies the mind. The Padma Purana is telling, there's many, many chapters about karma, transferal of punya, good things and bad things, through eating, through speaking, through touching, through sitting, through hearing, through remembering. It's quite detailed there. But this particular entry says that one gets 100th portion of the religious merit, which is punya phal or sukriti, of another person by thinking of him. Padma Puran Uttarakhanda, chapter 112, verse 9 through 29. So therefore, like sometimes people say, oh, can we keep your picture on the altar? And we say, no, that's not a very good idea. Why do you want to do that? Oh, just that, the other thing. I say, no, keep Prabhupada's picture on the altar. And the parampara. These are all liberated souls. They're all eternal associates of the Lord. And you think, oh, Prabhupada, please bless me. Please help me. I'm somehow come to your ISKCON and I'm associating with your followers. And please bless me. You are my grandfather. You're my well-wisher. You said you used to sign all your letters. You're ever well-wisher. Well, that means ever means forever. Ever well-wisher means forever. He's forever. Ever, ever, you just put four. Four means for you. Ever well-wisher means for you and for me and for everyone and for all times. So Prabhupada is a well-wisher for everyone and for all times and forever. So therefore, ever well-wisher. We added the four. Artika says, Prabhupada saying ever, ever well-wisher, but actually his intention is forever and for everyone. Forever and for everyone. He's a well-wisher. And it's a practical fact that over the last, you have to think about it, 30 years since Srila Prabhupada has physically been here. He left in 1977. And how many thousands and thousands of people have come to this ISKCON movement and taken shelter of Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's sadhana bhakti program and his chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and his followers and his... It's just unbelievable. And the most astounding experience I have is when I meet new people and they tell me about their experiences with Prabhupada. I said this a few times in Bombay because it's really astounding. Because of course, you know, we were initiated directly by Prabhupada. We had one personal exchange for a few moments and a few morning walks and some room conversations, you know, room darshans with other devotees and maybe 20, 30 live lectures in India and America, etc. There's not much. But these new people that come that didn't receive initiation from Prabhupada and didn't meet him any type of so-called personal way, they have amazing stories to tell. Really amazing stories. And they're real stories. And they say, yes, I was telling Prabhupada's books and I was so confused and I was praying to him. And every night for 7 days, Prabhupada came in my dreams and it was just like I could touch him. And he said, don't worry, you know, I will take care of you. I'm here. I know who you are. And they're very graphic and particular dreams according to the necessity of the soul. And they're taking shelter of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is, he who reasons ill is say that Vaishnavas die. While the art's still living and sound. While living, they spread the holy name all around. So Vaishnavas never die. They live forever. So Prabhupada is forever himself also, ever well-wisher and forever blessing. So many, on all kinds of interesting stories. I went to the temple one time, someone told me, and I was sitting in the temple. I would go every day in the afternoon. It was a quiet time around 4:30. All the devotees were on sankirtan. Pujari would make the offering, then he would disappear and eat the mahaprasad. And then there was nobody in the temple. You know. So I'd be sitting there just alone after college, and I would sit there and I would just look at Prabhupada. I'd say, Prabhupada, you know, I'm so unfortunate. I'm just a young kid. I never saw you. But are you just a murti? Are you alive or what? So he'd come in day after day. And one day he was looking at Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, was speaking to him. He said, you think I'm just plastic? You think I'm some plastic murti? So this person's sitting there in the temple in the afternoon and he is praying like this, Prabhupada, and I'm so unfortunate. And what's going to happen to me? And so then Prabhupada said, you think I'm plastic? You think I'm plastic? Just some figurine here? And he's like, what is that? He was like hearing, he's like, God, am I going crazy? I'm an ordinary guy. I'm not on drugs. I'm just a student in college. I'm a good person. Did I hear something? It's my imagination, some ghost or whatever. And he looks. And then Prabhupada says, I'm here. You know, I'm going to help you. And he's like this. And it was a whole long thing. I only remember part of it like this. And there's so many stories like this. Just like recently it was in Punjabi Bagh. When was it? This year or last year? This year. In the beginning of this year, one devotee from outside, you know, you've seen the CD? You have the CD? Yeah. So one devotee came and he sat there in a Punjabi temple. And the main deities there are Radhika Raman, I think. They were installed by Sarabi Swami back in the 80s when he was staying in that house, and then he bought these deities and installed them. And so the main deities are Radha and Krishna. They're about so big or so, like this. So then recently they got some Jagannath deities. They're new deities, only a short time, a few years old. So this devotee came in, some congregational person, he's sitting there. He's looking at the deity. And all of a sudden, Jagannath's going, "You saw, I gave you that CD."
I have the file.
Yeah. So then he said, "What's up?" There's nobody around. He said, "What am I seeing? Am I, my eyes falling out?" And he saw Balaram's Subhadra. He pulled out his cell phone. He starts filming it. And it went on for about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, Jagannath was like eating. You know, like this. His lips were going down like this. And then he went crazy. So he went and he told the temple president, he said, "Look, you know, I just have this clip," and he showed it. And he looked at it and he saw the Jagannath. He said, "Whoa, what's this?" And so then, somehow the word got around. Then the cable TV, the news show, the cable TV show from like whatever that place is, you know, Punjabi Bagh. They all came over in the afternoon. They interviewed the temple president. "What is this?" And he said, "Yeah, this is." And you have the clip. And he gave them the clip and they put it on the TV. And that evening, Jagannath, you know, he's eating. Jagannath and ISKCON is eating. So like now this Puri temple, Jagannath temple, the pujaris, the priests are suing ISKCON, or they have some case against ISKCON for having Rath Yatras outside of the day they have. You know, we have November, December, all of it. So it's a big kind of some kind of funny campaign, I guess, to get attention for themselves or ISKCON or both or whatever. That's the end result. More people come here, more people go to Rath Yatra. But who's seen Lord Jagannath eating? He eats 56 times a day and thousands of kilos. Has anybody ever seen him? So our Jagannath, ISKCON and Jagannath is right on the TV, in the evening TV. And then that, when people saw it that night for the evening aarti, like 8:30, about 10,000 people came to the temple. It was a huge rush. And the next day, for about 5 days, about 10, 12 days, thousands and thousands of people coming to Punjabi temple. "Oh Jagannath, please, you know, please bless me." And then other people were starting to call up the TV and say, "Oh, Jagannath's eating in my house also." Because other devotees had Jagannath deities and they were seeing, whatever. But this is a big thing, and this CD was passed around. I have it. I saw it myself. And it's like, something's going on there. I mean, it looks like the guy's like so ecstatic. He's not like, you know, he's seeing it. It could say his camera's moving, but his mouth is moving. It's like, he's smiling, but it's going down. Like, you know, it's going, you know, it's like, he's eating.
And the eyes?
Eyes are watering, like yours. When you eat Jagannath Prasadam, you get tears in your eyes. So this is this is called a phenomenon. It's an amazing thing. You didn't see.
He got a message from
Sita Mohan.
Your old friend. Sita Mohan, your ever well-wisher. Mercy of Jagannath. Really, really special mercy of Jagannath.
Jagannath is always doing something. Jagannath is always doing something. I'm in touch.
Yeah, I mean, even here in Puri, there are so many wonderful stories about Jagannath. And of course, in Mayapur ISKCON, they have so many stories. And you went there to the Mayapur ISKCON temple, Jagannath? They have
so many stories.
There are many, many stories. So Jagannath, because Jagannath and Ganga are considered in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says Daro Brahman, that the deity for Kali Yuga is the Daro Brahman, Jagannath, and the Ganga. It says the Lord appears in three forms in Kali Yuga. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He appears in the form of Daro Brahman, Jagannath, he appears in Ganga, and he appears in maybe the devotees, I forget the third one. I think it's Tulsi, actually. Yeah, I think it's Tulsi or the devotees. I think it's Tulsi. Huh? No, maybe Bhagavatam. I think it's four things. You're right. Yeah, you have a really good memory. It's the Lord in Kali Yuga appears in four forms. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna Sada Amo Bhagate Dharma Ganati Visaha. Ganga, Tulsi, and the Jagannath. So that's why these things should always be in our house. And there's some statements where Yamaraj was telling the Yamadutas. Yamaraj was telling Yamadutas, when you fly around and when you're looking for something to do, looking for some people to snatch, don't visit any house that has these, I forget, has these four things, that has these things in it. If they have, they should have a conch, a blowing conch. If any house has a blowing conch, a conch shell, this is a conch shell, Tulsi, Bhagavatam, Ganga Jal. Not necessarily Jagannath, but they didn't say that. But these things, I forget, an aganta or a bell or something. Remember I told that? These people, you don't bother these people. These are Vaishnavas. They have Tulsi. They have Tulsi plant. They have a blowing conch shell, you know, for Artik. And they have Bhagavatam. And they have holy water, Jamuna, Ganga, Radhakund. So these things should always be in everyone's house. Wherever you live, you should have these auspicious things there. Some bottle of Ganga Jal or Radhakund Jal or Jamuna Jal. Like this. Conch shell. Aww. Chase away the ghosts and stuff. If in the evening time, you can blow the conch shell, or if you have Artik. You'll find it's a very interesting phenomenon. In Vrindavan, when you visit all the temples in Vrindavan, except maybe Gaudiya Math or whatever, there's no conch shell. Except ISKCON. Have you ever attended any Artiks in Banki Bihari? Yes, no?
Yes.
Have they blown the conch shell?
No.
You ever attended any Artiks in Radha Raman? Radha Damodar? Radha Shamsundar? There's no conch shell. Why? So why is there no conch shell in the main temples in Vrindavan? When they except ISKCON and Gaudiya Math, no one blows a conch shell for any Artiks. Radha Raman, Banki Bihari, Govindaji, Gopinath, Damodar, Shamasundar, Gokulanada, etc. Why no conch shell? This is the question on the floor.
Something with Lakshmi?
No. Would you believe? No. Any other guesses? The last time a conch shell was heard in Vrindavan was when Akrura blew the conch shell that announced that was a death knell for the gopis in Vrindavan. As Akrura mounted a chariot and he sat down Krishna and Balaram and he blew the conch shell. And he took Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan and they never brought them back. So the Vrijvasis, they cursed the conch shell. We never want to see another, we don't want to see another conch shell, we don't want to hear another conch shell. If we hear the sound of a conch shell, that will remind us of that fateful day, Black Tuesday or whatever, Black Tuesday or whatever day it was, I don't know, when 9/11, when Krishna was taken out of Vrindavan by Akrura. So, if somebody goes, so then no more conch shells. For 5,000 years. Well, this is preaching mission. This is Bhav Vichar. This is Brijbasi Bhav, Prem Bhav. It's coming down. For the Brijvasis. So this is Prem Bhav. The Prabhupada has established deities in his temples following the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Archan Marg of Narada Pancharatra and Hari Bhakti Vilas, as did his guru, Bhakti Santa Saraswati. So therefore, Prabhupada is following his footsteps of his guru. And Archan Marg, then we must follow the Vidhi Nisheda, the rules and regulations of the Archan Marg. But Bhav Marg is a little bit freedom there, a little laxity or latitude, freedom to go here or there, move this way or that. And it's a beautiful Bhav. We, for 20 days in Bombay, we gave class on the Viraha Gita, in chapter 39 of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 39. And everyone was, it was really wonderful. All the students came every day. Everyone was from outside. They came every day to Prabhupada's room in the guest house. And they, we were discussing all the verses. There's 12 verses from maybe 19 to 10th canto, chapter 39, verse 19 to verse 30. It's called Viraha Gita. There's six Gita or Gita in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Gopi Gita, Veno Gita, Pranaya Gita, Mahishi Gita, Brahmar Gita, and Viraha Gita, and Yuga Gita. I think this is all six. And they're very, very deep and profound subject matter. We only scratch the surface because we're pretty superficial. So you can't go very far down if you're superficial. But we had a desire to share that with everyone because it's all about separation. And bhajan has to be nourished by mood of separation. Feeling somewhat destitute and impoverished. So this particular technique, now we're discussing another technique here, which is we were talking about chanting in association with realized souls, or thinking of them. So when Prabhupada was here, devotees would chant with Prabhupada. But if he's not there, then you can chant, you can think of Prabhupada, you can chant in front of his murti and see Prabhupada. And you can think of Prabhupada. If you think of Prabhupada, then 1/100th of his good qualities will come inside. Think of good people, you become a good person. Think good thoughts, you become a good person. You become a good thinking person. You think bad thoughts, you become a bad person. That's why we say it's not very good to be offensive or to speak badly of others. Because what, like they say, whatever goes around comes around. Boomerang. So when you speak badly about someone else, oh, he's like this, he's like that, then whatever bad you say to that about that person, that comes into you. Actually comes to you. We have a beautiful phrase in English, which if the whole world lived by this phrase, it would be Vaikuntha. It would be Vaikuntha if the whole world lived by this phrase. If you can't say something good about someone, then don't say anything at all. If you can't say something good, so you imagine what a world it would be if everyone was speaking nice things about each other. Mutual admiration society. Mutual admiration society. Everyone appreciating one another. Everyone feeling grateful towards one another. Everyone honoring one another. And everyone respecting one another. And everyone understanding the need for each other. And what is that situation? That's Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan, every gopi, every gopa, every bird, every deer, every parrot, every turtle, every animal, every gopa, everyone has all these qualities. Mutual admiration society. This is the spiritual world. Everyone needs each other. The gopis, they can't just serve Krishna. They need the flowers. And the flowers need the gopis. And they need the Yamuna, and the Yamuna needs the Gopi. Everyone needs each other. No one's independent. They're interdependent. They cooperate together for the center. The phrase is used, everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. It's a very nice phrase. Everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. But in this material world, everywhere circumference, nowhere the center. So circumference. Your circle, my circle, these are all circumferences. My circle of interest clashes with your circle of interest. Husband has his interest. Wife has her interest. Kids have their interest. Tong, 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 tong. Boom, boom, boom. But in the spiritual world, everybody's interest is everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. Krishna's in the center, and everyone's hearts are in the center. Everyone's lives are in the center. Everyone's actions, words, kaya, mano, vakya. Their bodies, their minds, their words, everything for Krishna. So, harmony. Absolute harmony. Absolute synergy. Absolute bliss. Transcendental bliss. Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe, Radhe Radhe Radhe, Jai 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 Shri Radhe, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Maharani Ki Jai, Rani Ki Jai, Maharani Radhe Radhe Radhe, Jai 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 Shri Radhe, Radhe Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe Radhe, Radhe 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 Job, Varia. You have to put some different threads on them. Different thread. Dinner is served. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. Radha Rani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Radha Rani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Bolo Barsane wali ki jai jai jai. Barsane wali ki. Bolo Barsane wali ki jai jai jai. Radha Rani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Radhe Radhe Radhe, Jai 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe, Jai 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 Shri Radhe. Vrindavan Vihari Lala ki jai, Radha Rani ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So there was. This is a technique. Now we want to improve our chanting. My chanting's not good. My mind's going crazy everywhere. So let's try this technique. Chanting in association with one spiritual master. Now, Prabhupada's not here, but we can still be in his association and establish a connection with him. In response to the disciples' thoughts and prayers, the Guru will send his blessings, guidance, power, and love. A sweet stream of spiritual energy flows from the Guru to his disciple, just as honey pours from one vessel to another. 185. It's a very nice statement. A sweet stream of spiritual energy flows from the Guru to his disciple, just as honey pours from one vessel to another. So how do we feel or experience that stream of sweetness? By connecting with the Guru, by thoughts, by prayers, the Guru responds. So we're chanting Hare Krishna and our mind is jumping here and there, and then we think, oh, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please help me. Please help me fix my mind on the chanting. Srila Prabhupada, you are such a wonderful chanter. You are so absorbed in the holy name. Day and night, you're always chanting. And all your books, every single one of your books, every page of your book has Krishna's name. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Every page of your book is like a kirtan party. When I read your books, I'm just engaged in kirtan. But every single page of Prabhupada is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In every verse, the verse in Bengali says, Lord Chaitanya engaged in Nam Sankirtan. That's what it says, because I've done a comparative study. Because Subhag Maharaj and I, we worked on Chaitanya Mangal. He translated that. So we had several editions, Gaudiya Mat, this, that, the other thing. So when the same Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Lord Chaitanya was walking through India, South India, chanting Nam Sankirtan. Prabhupada writes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is walking through South India chanting a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the Yuga Dharma for this age. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. So Prabhupada got right to the point. Nam Sankirtan. This is the best form, this is the highest Nam. There's no greater Nam than Hare Krishna. It's the Maha Mantra. He's also chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha and Krishna 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 Hey. But primarily the Maha Mantra. So everywhere, wherever it says Nam Sankirtan, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's Prabhupada's prerogative, his right, his translator's right. But this is his mercy for us, because he's constantly reminding us every page, every paragraph, Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, Isopanishad, Nectar Devotion, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is Prabhupada, this is his blessing. So then we're chanting japa. He says, oh Prabhupada, I'm remembering you, I'm remembering your mercy, please help me fix, improve my japa. Then Prabhupada will help you improve your japa. He will respond. Now, how successful will we be in this attempt? The ability to draw blessings from the spiritual master depends on one's degree of faith, on the degree of one's faith. When one sincerely meditates on his guru, he actually feels the presence of the guru in his heart. Though now Prabhupada may not be seen chanting japa in the temple room with the devotees, he is still present for one who wants his divine association. According to Srila Prabhupada, a sincere disciple can always be, quote, this is a quote he said, packed up together with him just by chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, there's an anecdote to illustrate this statement. The Prabhupada said that the disciple can always be packed up with the guru by sincerely chanting Hare Krishna. There's no separation. And the incident is described in Lilamrita. When Prabhupada was in New York, he was preaching there from 1965 and through 66 and up to 67, continuously preaching in New York. After going to Butler, then he came to New York in the winter of 65. From 65 to 66 up to 67. In 67 in the spring, he went to Haight-Ashbury, to San Francisco, to join his disciples there who opened the preaching center. So devotees in New York became very accustomed to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's here. He's never going. He's never going to leave us. He's doing everything. He's cooking. He's cooking for us. He's chanting for us. He's giving all the classes. He's inspiring us. We're all engaged in his service. And one day Prabhupada said, I have received a ticket for San Francisco. I'm leaving. Huh? What? Prabhupada, you can't leave us. How can you leave us here? How can you leave me? Where are you going? What is this? You know, I'll blow up that airplane. And even there's a movie. There's a movie of Prabhupada at the airport. It's one of these, you know, ISKCON, Acharya, whatever. And it shows Govinda Das here, I don't know, whoever, some devotees. And Prabhupada was standing and said, yes, I have my ticket. And all the devotees were sitting on chairs on the floor near Prabhupada. And then one devotee reached over and grabbed the ticket and took it out of Prabhupada's hands. And said, Prabhupada, we're not going to let you go. And I have your ticket. And Prabhupada was laughing. He said, I'm not giving you your ticket. You can't go to San Francisco. They don't know how to treat you over there. You know, you can't go there. And how can we carry on without you? And then she laughs and gives a ticket back to Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada, this anecdote is there, quoted from Lilamrita, sitting on the old carpet, because when they made the temple in New York for Prabhupada, it was a very makeshift temple, and no one had any money. They were all just like street people, and only one or two Satsrut Maharajas working and Brahmananda's working. And they were getting a little money just to pay the electricity bill or to pay the rent for the room that Prabhupada was staying in. And the food, they were going around to the supermarkets, and the yogurt that said fresh and, yeah, what do you call it, expiration date. This yogurt expires on Friday. Sitting on the old carpet, Prabhupada so quietly, I may be going to San Francisco. But Guru Maharaj, means Bhakti Sanata, his Guru Maharaj, and Bhakti Vinod are here. And then Prabhupada looked up towards the paintings on the wall of his spiritual master. And Bhakti Vinod, they were on the wall. He said, I have asked my Guru Maharaj and Bhakti Vinod, I have asked them to kindly take care of all of you, my spiritual children. The grandfather always takes care of the children much better than the father. You think so? Is that right? So the Prabhupada, the grandfather is Bhakti Siddhanta, your grandfather is Srila Prabhupada. So do not fear. There's no question of separation. The sound vibration fixes us up together. Even though the material body may not be here or there, what do we care for this material body? Just go on chanting Hare Krishna. And we will be packed up together. You will be chanting here. And I will be chanting in San Francisco. And this vibration will circulate around the planet. So the summary is, we can always chant in association with Srila Prabhupada or your Gurudev. That's the conclusion. If you just think of him when you're chanting, then he'll be with you. Sit before Srila Prabhupada's photo. Remember his instructions to chant clearly and purely. Pray for his mercy and softly murmur the holy names. Another wonderful way to associate with Srila Prabhupada is to chant the holy name while listening to his japa tape. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jagannath Swami ki.
Jai.